This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
A couple emails I received in hour number one. As you can tell, I have now replaced the football helmet behind me with the gift that we received yesterday from Muffet and McGraw and the Notre Dame fencing program, the national champs. And so it is prominently displayed accordingly. I kind of like the way that ND shines back there off the lights. But nevertheless, Fran Whaley sends me an email this morning. Says, Pack, so glad you're giving fencing some love, but for your information, the headgear is called a mask, not a helmet. A mask, not a helmet. All right. Noted.
Okay. It's been there noted. You go. You've been novices. Put on notice.
That's it. So the mask is behind me. All right. Tom Parker wrote in real quick and said, Pack, whenever you get back to having everybody back in your basement, please keep Luganville away from that thing. You'll never see it again. And he's relating to, of course, the mask from Notre Dame. So we appreciate the emails, folks watching and the comments already.
I tell you something, Tom's probably spot on there. I didn't think about the Luganville intervention.
Yeah.
It's very Luganville likes mask. You remember that. He came in there wearing that Camp That America stocking cap that time.
Right. The dogs about tore him up to pieces. Thought there was a burglar in the house. Technically, if he didn't bring treats from a local establishment, he's right.
Yeah. That's it. I will offer this to you. I do believe that in our 377, today's 377, as I recall.
That is correct.
377 television shows, you have become quite the model of headgear.
I like headgear.
Masks, helmets.
Well, I like it.
Caps.
I'm in it.
Things.
Pro hat.
Pro hat.
Anything to cover my face on television, I am all for. And so are the listeners and viewers. Viewers in particular. All right, can we get the notepad? Can we
do it? Oh, man.
I'm ready for April notepad.
Please.
We do this at the end of the month. The fact that you were busy on the links yesterday, not links yesterday.
Pack, you can't say I was on the links when the clubs never came out of the car because of the weather.
You were on the links.
Stayed in the car the whole day. Did not put a peg in the ground.
Fair enough. We didn't do notepad yesterday because you were on the 19th hole all day rubbing elbows and having cocktails. So how about that instead of links? Which one do you want? I'm good. I'm good either way. However you want to handle it.
Rubbing elbows would be appropriate. No cocktails.
Okay, right.
And came home.
Yeah, okay.
No cocktails. Okay. No cocktails.
All right, fair enough.
Just tell
notepad.
Go ahead.
April. The very best. We're going to lead off with the best offensive player of the month. I will lead. She was on this show. Unstoppable. If she's got the stick and there's a ball, she's going to score. Charlotte North from Boston College is my best offensive player of the month. She is spectacular.
Jeez. It's unbelievable.
How do you not pick her?
I mean, breakaways, traffic, the whole bit.
Did you pick her too?
Not?
You did not pick her.
Well, I did not.
Oh,
no,
I thought you did.
No, and here's why. Let me say this. No, because I kind of thought, okay, I'm going to guess with Packer. He'll take, in this case, Charlotte North. I thought, you know what? Charlotte North's been so good. I want to give somebody else some love. And I felt like you were going to take Charlotte North. Okay. I didn't think you were taking the person, then I would pick that person.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who'd you pick?
Now, we do have a couple that are the same, but I picked Joe Robertson of Duke. Because Joe Robertson's the best closer I've ever seen. Mariano Rivera, all these guys. Late in the game, who do you want with the ball and the stick?
Charlotte North.
Joe Robertson.
No, Charlotte. I want Charlotte North.
This guy's closed more games than anybody in the bigs yet. It's just that one. Come on. Really? That was crazy. So Joe Robertson of Duke gets my best offensive player. He's a closer. If we had best closer, he would definitely have been.
That wasn't the topic.
I made him the best offensive player.
Offensive player. in my opinion, at Charlotte North.
All right.
But nevertheless, I disagree with you on that.
Let's go best defensive player.
I'll lead with this. She's in the circle. She's got the ball. Yeah. It doesn't matter if she's got a bat in her hand or a ball in her hand. She's become a superstar. Right. A superstar. And she was just on the show last week. Valerie Cagle from Clemson has been ridiculous. Doesn't matter if it's no-nos. It doesn't matter if it's blasting something 275 over the scoreboard. Goodness gracious. I mean, number 72 with the Tiger Paw is, like I said, I think she may be the biggest star on campus as we speak. I'm going Valerie Cagle.
There you go. That's a good one. I went to your guest yesterday, Taylor Marino. I ain't North Carolina's lacrosse. Been sensational. I thought in the month of April, she was the shutdown. Carolina needed stops, crucial stops against Notre Dame. They got them. Other games, it's been tight fits. They score a bunch of points. She does a good job slowing down the opponent. So Taylor Marino was my best defensive player of the month of April, Pack.
Well, as I mentioned to her yesterday, she was the MVP. And, you know, in this league, as good as it is, North Carolina only gave up 14 goals in the ACC tournament in a lacrosse, three matches.
That's right.
14 goals. That is a winning combination.
Yep. Especially the way they score it. Now, best story, we both agreed on this.
Oh.
I think sometimes, and I've often said, it's hard to write the script at the end, okay? The ending can be really, really frustrating. It can be disappointing. It can be discouraging. It can end in a bad season. You can have a poor performance. And it doesn't have to be the end of someone's career, as is the case here. It could be just the end of their time playing at a specific place. But for Larry Penley, the golf coach at Clemson, for the Tigers to win it the way they did, not only Zach Gordon's putt last Monday, but the idea that they had to beat NC State in the match play, Pack, to get to the finals against Florida State, for Penley to win the ACC Men's Golf Championship and his 10th conference title, is just a really, really fun, heartwarming story about a guy, as you well know, has dedicated his life to college golf with Clemson.
There's no question. This, to me, was easy. To be honest with you, Notepad was easy, I thought, in April as we go through these. But my man Larry Penley announced his retirement. Team's taken off. They're ranked fourth in the country, maybe they're third in the country now in the latest rankings, right behind Florida State, who they knocked off in dramatic fashion. Hopefully you caught that excitement. Larry's a great guy. And, you know, I mentioned he lost his dad last year, Bud, and as he told us in the interview, he had a sense that Dad was looking down, watching him. Bud and Larry and the Clemson golf family, from a personal standpoint, I could not be happier for him and his family and that team. But that winning that ACC championship, number 10 for him, that was special. That was great, legendary stuff is what that was. Really cool.
Yep. All right. So congratulations. Best story for the –
We both
for
agree
sure, Larry Penley.
Yeah, so we both agree with that with April. Biggest disappointment, I'm going to go with a team that was playing great, doing some since dirt stuff in the NCAA tournament, but man, what could have been? The biggest disappointment for me is Kayla Lunn and the Pitt volleyball team, who had Washington on the ropes. And again, they'd already busted down one door to advance to the furthest they'd ever been. But they had Washington beat, and they just could not close it. They won the first two sets and let that thing get away, and unfortunately that was the end for Pitt volleyball. But a great run in the tournament, but what could have been against Washington. So that was my biggest disappointment, because I was really rooting for Kayla Lunn, who I really, really like. She's been great on the show, and it would have been cool for them to get to the next chapter on that run.
Yeah. This might not sit well with some, but my biggest disappointment was Mark Emmert getting a contract extension.
Oh.
I was optimistic that we were going to get better leadership across the board in the NCAA, that we were going to start to – and I'm just – got to be honest with you. It's incredibly disappointing to see this organization continue to move in an isolated circle. And come up with all the logic and the theories and the philosophies of the, you know, council and everything else last week, but This was disappointing. At a time we need an organization to step forward in the advancement of college athletics on several fronts, we didn't get it last week. And that was incredibly disappointing to me.
When he got the vote of confidence in March, I wasn't surprised at all with that. I mean, it is what it is. Again, if you're weak at the top, you're bound to fail.
No, that's...
I've said it for 100 times. So that's what it is. All right, biggest surprise of the month for me. Right. I could have gone 1,000 different ways on this, and I wasn't sure which one to pick, so I picked this one. But Gregory Rousseau getting picked in the first round of the NFL draft surprised me because I didn't know where he would fall given his decision to play or not to play in 2020. We saw some guys who didn't play who didn't get picked. We saw some guys that didn't play that did get picked. But Rousseau going in the first round was a surprise. I knew he'd get drafted. I just didn't know if it'd be a first-round pick.
Yeah, I think there's some parallels that are going to be interesting to look at as we move through this transitional year of college football and the way it was played to some of these guys in the NFL level. Roddy Jones, I hope he's back with us here soon. We were touching base over the weekend on some things. It's really interesting, and you and I were talking during the break. I mean, Marvin Wilson's not drafted. Charles Snowden's not drafted. Sage Surratt wasn't drafted. Yet Gregory Rousseau, Paris Ford. Yeah, well, your guy. I mean, but then Gregory Rousseau, who opted out, who didn't have a great pro day, it works out, and he ends up in the first round. I mean, there's all sorts of different little nuances about this, and again, fit is one of those things, but I mean, good for him. It worked out, but it was weird for sure. I was not expecting to hear his name Thursday night.
Mm-mm, me neither. Me neither.
So my biggest surprise, we mentioned Pitt's loss to Washington. Dan Fisher talked to us before the NCAA tournament. And, Mark, I don't know. I think I kind of thought Pitt would be okay, but I wasn't sure how far Pitt was going to go. So their run to the Elite Eight, and I know it ended disappointingly, but, man, the fact they got to the Elite Eight, and I know they're sorely disappointed they didn't get over the hump into the Final Four, but I didn't know what to think. I mean, Louisville had a lot of momentum as a program. I really thought Louisville was going to be strong in the tournament. Which they were. Pittsburgh was kind of a surprise in some respect to me. I know they got to the Elite Eight for the first time. I just wasn't sure they were going to get there when the tournament started, but they did, and congratulations to them.
Like I said, I was rooting for them. We end up getting bonds on this show with student athletes and coaches who are fun and cut up with us. Mm-hmm. And Kayla Lund has just been a great student athlete and representative of what Pitt Athletics is all about. So I was rooting for their team to make a run. That's why they were my disappointment, because they were so close a knocking off Washington up two sets and just didn't get the job done. But nevertheless, congratulations to them.
Best game is our last category here on the April edition of Notepad.
What'd you pick?
And we both put the same thing down.
We did? Oh, I didn't know if you'd do that.
I literally said, pick any of the Thursday night lacrosse games.
That's what I said.
In fact, all of them.
That was what I picked. Too.
I mean, look, it's amazing how it works, but we end up with really compelling games in lacrosse on Thursday nights here on ACC Network. Yeah, a good many of them involve Duke.
All of them.
But in all honesty, you could see that the Thursday night lacrosse package here on ACC Network was sensational. So our best game was Duke's men's lacrosse on Thursday night. Beat Carolina in overtime, Virginia in overtime, Notre Dame in overtime.
Yeah, all three of them were just spectacular. That's what we kept saying. Thursday nights are appointment viewing on ACC Network when it comes to men's lacrosse. And Duke versus fill in the blank was just high drama, great television. Broadcasters were terrific. The games were awesome. The teams were terrific. Yeah. You had no earthly idea who was going to win. Everything was, survive in advance kind of feel to it, even though it was regular season. But it was great television. It really was. So tip of the hat to all the lacrosse teams in this league, but Duke in particular on Thursday nights in the month of April. They were awesome.
That's why Joe Robertson was the offensive player of the month. That's why he won Notepad. He was a closer.
He was the closer of the month.
Okay. All right. Sit tight, closer of the month. When we come back, we go to softball.
Like you yesterday on the 19th hole with all those coaches there at that country club you're hanging out with. Closing. That's what you were. You were a closer yesterday. I can tell. That's why your glasses. Yeah. That's why you're looking at your glasses a while ago. Can't get the vision quite right. I know how it works.
Is that it?
Take a day off of work and all of a sudden, dog ate my homework.
When we come back, Notre Dame's had a great spring in softball, and one of the reasons is outfielder Abby Sweet, who's going to join us. We're looking forward to talking to Abby, who leads the league in batting since mid-March for seven straight weeks. But guess what else she leads the league in? Hit by pitch? Yeah. We'll talk to Abby after this on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. First of many guests coming your way between now and 10 a.m. We've already given Notre Dame Fencing all kinds of love since we now have the mask. Compliments of the Notre Dame National Championship Fencing and Muffet McGraw. And we do appreciate the handwritten note. I can't emphasize that enough. Handwritten notes are where it's at. Got the fencing mask behind me now. It will stay there for a while. We're going to South Bend, Indiana, Wes, because the Notre Dame softball team has won 11 in a row. And we've talked about the baseball team being one of the best stories around the country. All of a sudden, Notre Dame softball is on fire. And Abby Sweet joins us and makes her debut on the program. Abby, first of all, thanks for getting up with us. Good morning and congratulations. Man, everybody is red hot in South Bend.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's a good time out here in South Bend. We're having a lot of fun. So I just can't wait to keep it going.
Abby, you lead the ACC in batting. The Notre Dame's had a great year. But I said going to break, you've been hit by 13 pitches this year? I mean, what's going on there? Come on now. Let's get to the story. Let's get to the numbers within the numbers here. Hit by pitch in softball 13 times. I mean, look, we've had Valerie Cagle on this show from Clemson, Keely Richard from Virginia Tech. Everybody packing I've ever seen in a softball highlight or in a game on ACC Network can spin it. Nobody hits anybody. What's going on there?
I mean, I've been hit by pitches all my life, honestly. And sometimes, like I said earlier, it's just the way it goes. And if it gets me on base, I'm willing to take the hit by pitch. You know, I have a lot of bruises over my lifetime, but it gets me on base and gets a base runner. So I'm happy about that.
Abby, are you like talking trash to the pitcher again? Is that what's going on here? That you're just getting everybody wound up?
Is that
like,
what's happening?
When Abby comes up here, I don't care if she gets on first base. I'm hitting her. What is? There's got to be something that's going on there. That is a ridiculous number.
There's no trash talking in softball. I think we're all pretty nice to each other, honestly. We're like, oh, you look great today. Your hair is nice.
By the way, speaking of your hair, we're going to get the softball here, but that's a perfect segue to a follow-up question. If you don't mind, explain what you did regarding your hair for an incredible charity, because I thought this was incredibly cool. This is an amazing story.
Yeah, so last Saturday, me and Katie Marino, we donated 10 inches of our hair for cancer patients so they could have wigs. And this is actually the second time I've done it. I did it my sophomore year. So this is my national debut of my new hairstyle. So thank you guys for doing that.
Nice. That is really...
But yeah, it's just a great... It's a great, great cause, and it's such a great weekend. I'm happy we're still able to do something. It's such a special weekend for us at Notre Dame, and you know we're just happy to help in any way we can.
That is awesome, really great. Congrats on that to all of you, because that's from the heart. And for somebody that has no hair, I know how much you appreciate when you have a great. You got the do going the whole thing, but that is what it's all about: giving back, and it doesn't. Listen, 11 in a row is cool. Getting hit by 13 times when I hit by a pitch is not great, but that is what it's all about. And congratulations to you and your entire team for that.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, that's just what we do here at Notre Dame.
Abby,
all about helping the community and, yeah.
Mm. Abby, who was cutting your hair? And how well, I mean, what kind of coaching went on for that? Because that didn't look like somebody who had a cosmetology certificate.
No, that was Coach. She asked me if she could cut my hair, and I said, of course. I trust her with my life. So I was like, of course you could cut my hair. And she went right across and cut it off. And, you know, a little crooked, but I got it cleaned up yesterday. So it's all good.
So we went to the professional yesterday, right? I mean, we went to the pro just to make sure that, hey, you know what? We're on a hot streak. Let's look the part, the whole deal. That's tremendous.
Definitely.
That's really great. You've been the ACC Player of the Week 3 times this season. We keep talking about, you know, listen, Clemson's on fire. Florida State's been great for a long time. Duke had a run. Virginia Tech's been really good. And now here comes the Irish. So what's been the catalyst? What's the key here to get Notre Dame rolling here as we get into May?
We're just playing great softball right now. We're playing really good as a team. We're pitching great. We're hitting great. We're playing great defense. And everything's just coming together at the right time. So, you know, we just got to keep sticking together, keep playing for each other, and take that into May. And, you know, we're going to be a threat here down the road.
Abby, this has been a different year, though. I mean, the scheduling, all those things that have come into play here. So the premium on league games has been ramped up, right?
Yep. Yeah, we play a 4-game series now every weekend, which is definitely tough. But, you know, I think we've handled it great. We kind of got, you know, this whole routine going. Friday 1 game, Saturday 2 games, Sunday 1 game. And sometimes it changes up on us, like Virginia Tech. We had to play 2 on Friday, but that didn't faze us at all. We went into the weekend just ready to play. And, you know, we're getting softball games in. So we're just grateful to be playing, grateful to be back with each other, and, you know, grateful to just compete.
Well, beating Virginia Tech 4 times, that was a great feat. That was a great accomplishment because we know how good Virginia Tech is. You know, you're a 2-time captain. Which does not happen very often at Notre Dame in softball. What does that mean to you in terms of the big picture, being the 2-time captain?
I'm just very grateful to have this opportunity to be a leader on my team. And I'm just so happy that my teammates and coaches trust me to lead them. And we're just a great people here. We're a big family. And so, you know, it's nothing crazy. It's just my role, and I'm happy to do it. And I'm just, once again, so grateful to be here and grateful to be a leader.
All right, Abby, before I'm not quite sure how someone from Southern California gets into country music, but apparently you're into country music. So do you want to explain how that happened, or did that just was that just the way it was growing up? Your folks listen to country music? Because anybody whose walk-up music is Travis Tritt, and an old school song. I mean, I got to say now, there's an old soul in you somewhere for somebody young.
Yeah, I would definitely say I'm an old soul, but I think that's just kind of what happened. That's how I kind of grew up. And I just love country music. It's just music from the heart. And, you know, it's just, those are my walk-up songs. I love them. I've had a great slew of walk-up songs my freshman year. It was "She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy" by Kenny Chesney. so I'd say, and then I've had some Maren Morris last year and Maren Morris this year. But yeah, I love country music, and, you know, it just makes me happy. So,
well, that's the deal, right? I mean, but I got to be honest with you. You've been hit by a pitch 13 times. You got the "You Think My Tractor is Sexy" is a song. We're getting our hair cut off. The team's won 11 in a row. You're a 2-time captain. You keep saying, hey, you know what? Life is good, man. We're one big happy family up here in South Bend. Who's got it better than you? Seriously, Abby, who's got it better than you, right? Nobody's got better than you, right? I mean, it sounds like
I'm living the dream.
You are. It's like, I don't want to leave this place. This is the perfecto spot. All right, before we let you run, though, this is our traditional question with all the student athletes.
Okay.
And I can't wait to hear your answer on this. But since you've been at Notre Dame, what has been your hardest class?
Okay. So I'm a management consulting major in Mendoza College of Business, and I'll give you 2 classes.
Okay.
The first one has to be Accounting 2. I took that my sophomore year. That was just brutal. Accounting is not my forte, but I'm decent at it. And then my junior year, I took data visualization. So we pretty much just worked with a software called Tableau and made a bunch of dashboards. And that was pretty difficult.
That sounds
awful. So I would say those are my two hardest classes.
Wait.
So after that class.
Wait, hold on.
What
hold on. The county. Wait.
Hold on. I'm going to follow up on that. with the second. The accounting, I understand, because I dropped accounting too. I hated accounting. but the second class doing the dashboard, when you would walk out of that class and go back to the dorm, what country song were we cranking up after that class?
That was just a sad song. That was tears rolling down the face back to the dorm.
I love it. I'm sorry.
I want to make sure. Now, I want to tell you, we had Kayla Lund, who played volleyball at Pittsburgh, who said her hardest class was that the Russian fairy tales class.
Yes.
That was
yes.
Russian fairy tales, right? Yeah. Okay. So Russian fairy tales was hard. And I'm like, yeah, well, no kidding. It's in Russian and so forth. So, all right. Now, data visualization, that's what that class was called?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That would be.
I'm not quite sure how you determine the grades in a class called data visualization.
I'd visualize an A and see if the professor went for it. That's what I'd say. Prof, here's the
deal. That's what I was going for.
That's what I would have done. That's exactly. Yeah.
Well, keep up the great work. You, you and the gang are rocking,
Abby,
man.
You're the best.
11 straight. That's great. Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Abby Sweet. Candidate for ACC and National Player of the Year, by the way, from New Hall, California, and Notre Dame. Great to have her with us. We're going to pivot softball to baseball on the other side. Stephen Schock is Virginia's closer and another team that is starting to turn it up as the calendar moves to May. We're looking forward to having Stephen join us from Charlottesville. Oh, yeah. This is Pac's kind of guy right here. I can already tell. We haven't even talked to him. That's it.
There
we go.
That's it.
We're back after this on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
And Durham, it is a Tuesday morning. And we are still streaming live on that ESPN app, 844-SAY-ACCN. Many thanks to Abby Sweet, Notre Dame softball. They are red hot. They've won 11 straight. And don't look now, this crazy ACC baseball race, the Hoos are getting hot at the right time. A lot of expectations before the season, kind of a slow start. But lately, they're rocking and rolling. Stephen Schock joins us from Charlottesville, making his debut on the program. Stephen, first of all, appreciate you getting up early with us. And looks like the boys are starting to play their best baseball at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. They've always said in baseball, it ain't how you start, it's how you finish. So we're just trying to finish strong here and, you know, make that push to be the team everyone expected us to be, but most importantly, be the team we know we can be.
Stephen, you're a veteran guy and having a great year again for Coach O'Connor. But everybody knows this league is cut up this way, right? I mean, you kind of assume all this when the league year begins. So I think you guys are one of about two or three schools got off to a bit of a slow start. And now all of a sudden, May could be a premium for you guys, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's always the goal, just play the best baseball we can be playing until – you know, throughout May and hopefully in June.
By the way, how crazy. Anytime Virginia and Virginia Tech get together, I don't care what the sport is, it's going to be intense and you can feel the energy and the pressure and everything else. But that series was about as bonkers as it can get after what you guys did to Virginia Tech in the first game. And then they were kind of returned to favor. And then all of a sudden it was like a fist fight for who's going to win that series. That thing was all over the place over the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a tough team. They battled really hard. And, of course, their fan base always had, you know, sometimes more to say than you'd expect. But but that's kind of something. That's the type of energy I like to feed off of. When I go into pitch, I can't really hear anything. But sometimes I'll watch replays of myself pitching to see what I did good and what I did bad. Or, you know, maybe find out why someone rocked one off my ankle. And just watching the replay, I heard a few things that I didn't quite catch when I was out there on the mound. But, hey, That's what baseball is all about right there.
You're right about that.
All right. You are a closer, one of the best in college baseball. You're a grad student, so you've been doing it a while. You got this idea of it looks like. Now, we showed some highlights going to break. It looks like you've got the right approach. You know, you come in the single. I mean, I've looked at the strikeouts to walks ratio. I've looked at the ERA at 1.7, you know, working on a 7.8 save season so far here. Take us through the closer mentality from whenever you get the call, hey, we need you to go get warmed up. Take us through the mental approach here.
Yeah, so it's a little all over the place. So I kind of tend to keep it pretty loose for about the first six innings of a game. I like to just, you know, sometimes goof off and have fun, but obviously I'm still locked into the situation. And if the game is pretty tight or it's looking like it's going to be tight in the sixth, seventh inning, that's when I start kind of shifting, talk less to my teammates and just kind of focus on the mission at hand, getting stretched out, getting ready. And then, you know, I'll get ready. I'll throw my bullpen to just get loose before I come in. And then as soon as the bullpen gate opens, it's just all red. I mean, like I was saying about the Virginia Tech series, I couldn't really hear a word that was being said to me from the stands or anything like that. Florida State was a little bit louder and a little bit more coordinated in what they were saying. So sometimes I heard things they were saying, but it wasn't really anything too harsh or anything I hadn't heard before. And so, you know, I get in there, I see red, I look at Logan or Kyle's mitt, and I just try to throw it to their mitt the best of my ability. And, you know, and most times in pitching, you're gonna be more successful than the hitter. I mean, hitting's a game of failure, so I just trust that. Realize that if you're a gambling man, I don't know if I am or not, depending on what the NCAA wants me to say to that. But I know that the house is always gonna win, and when you're a pitcher, you're the house right there. So I just trust that. Trust the numbers. Go for it.
Steven, you seem, again, we've never met, any of us. This is our first conversation, yep, your debut on the show. It seems to me, though, given your experience and how effective you are coming out of the pen, that you seem to be a guy that probably would feast on the visitors giving you the business a little bit, right? You just seem like you got that personality. Oh, yeah, that's real cute. Like, I've not heard that before. Yeah, I tell you what, you better hope I don't get on the mound, because if so, we're mowing these dudes down. One, two, three, and y'all can go back home, right? You just seem to be the guy that, you know what, you guys can throw stuff at me. You can bark at me all you want. I eat that up. You just seem that way to me.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if one of the Virginia Tech fans came out and punched me in the face while I was on the mound, their biggest regret from that would be the fact that it's just going to make me a better pitcher. So people will say what they want, and they'll call me stupid on Twitter. I really don't care. I mean, I'm about to have a master's degree from one of the best institutions in America, so I'm not really too concerned about the opinion of them. But it's just all about going out there and hanging up zeros, regardless of what people are saying. I mean, the thing I don't like the most is when fans aren't very creative. Like Florida State, they were very creative, calling me different things in the bullpen warming up. But, you know, I live off that. That's very funny stuff to me. But if you're just saying cuss words, it's like, eh. Yeah, that's kind of boring.
Low-hanging fruit.
Don't come out flat.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not going to come out flat against y'all, so don't come out flat against me. You know,
I love it.
Respect.
I love what you just said. Yeah, you can rag me all you want from Twitter. That's cool, and I'm an idiot. But guess what? I'm so stupid, I'm getting ready to get a master's from one of the great academic institutions. So Merry Christmas and God bless you. That is a great answer. I mean, absolutely great answer. I love that. Love it.
Thank you.
Hey, Steven. I got to tell you, the idea of closing at Virginia, I mean, you know, a few years ago they had Nick Howard, who, for my money at the time, was one of the best closers in all of college baseball. And, I mean, he had a slider that was just incredible. Take me through, and I know you're working with Coach Dickinson now. Carl Kuhn was there for several years prior to that with Brian. Take me through the mentality of closing at Virginia and what they talked to you about. And I mean, I'm sure you did it in the past in high school. I mean, you went through a season where you were 0.00. So what's it mean now at the collegiate level, and what have they taught you about the art of closing?
Yeah, so it's always pretty much been the same thing for me. Even in high school during that zero ERA season, I knew that my skill set and everything like that, I was going to be a relief pitcher or closer when I got to college. So it wasn't about, hey, hang seven zeros up on the scoreboard throughout your start. It was just, hey, close every inning. You know, go out there and compete the best of your ability and make sure, you know, the other team's not touching home plate. And when they do, take it pretty personally. So luckily that year there wasn't too many personal insults for my name. But especially here at Virginia, one of the main things that Coach Drew emphasizes is just going out there and competing. Like, you only get one shot each game if you're lucky enough to get a shot to go out there and compete. So you might as well thrive in it, and you might as well do it to the best of your ability. So, you know, whether we're up one in a, you know, potential season determining game, I'm going to take that the same way as we're up 20 or, I don't know, some random score here. Let me pull it out, like 18-1 or something like that, if that were to happen. I'm going to take that as seriously each time, you know.
Well, you must have had a good time with that crew in Hokie Land just to pop a 18-1 out of nowhere. I wonder where that number came from. I mean, you are something
it's
else,
just like,
dude.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I just see them.
Hey, I know. I hear you. I'm reading between the lines there, too. We got some video you totally composed after a close. Can we show that real quick? Do we have that for Steven?
Yeah, this is good. Go. I like this.
There we go.
I think I'm trying to remember what I was saying. I think I was saying I love baseball or something like that.
Yeah, that's it. I want to go feed my dogs. And look at this move. What was that move right there? What was that one?
Right there was a spider on my glove, and I don't like spiders at all. So I said goodbye, spider. Had to get rid of that.
That is fantastic. All right. You are a nut,
so,
man. I love closers.
Wait. Hang on. Before we get to the last question here, Steven, I got to ask you, who's your guy? I mean, who's your guy that you – I mean, every closer I know pulls a little bit – to me, I could go old school. You got a lot of Al Raboski in you for me. Yeah. You know, Pac remembers Al Raboski. I see a little bit of Sparky Lyle in you from the 70s. But I've got to believe you're a little more 21st century in terms of who you're pulling from as a closer that's inspired you.
Yeah, so this is actually kind of – you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I love the Mad Hungarian. He's always been one of my favorites. I grew up as an Orioles fan, so unfortunately growing up there wasn't a lot of hope or a lot to look up to. Like, my favorite player growing up was Jay Gibbons, who's just a random outfielder who got popped for PEDs at one point.
Oh,
but
boy.
But that being the case, I looked back to years where the Orioles were good. So I actually like the history of baseball a lot, and just Al Raboski, just the way he attacks, and just different interviews with him from a mental side of things. Like, I remember one of my favorite interviews was him talking about why he is the Mad Hungarian. And he said, you know, I might be 5'9", but I'm going to go out there and tell myself I'm as big as Willie Stargell. I'm going to be big and ugly and scary. And, you know, Willie Stargell to him was big, ugly, and scary. So in his brain, while he was 5'10", he was out there thinking, yeah, I'm this giant dude who no one wants to mess with. And, you know, that demeanor kind of caused people to want to embarrass him and want to go outside their skill set and try to do things they can't do. And that led him to more success. And I guess one of the more recent pitchers I really liked and really liked his mentality was Pedro Martinez.
Of course.
Because I remember, you know, when he had a fight and he threw down Don Zimmer, just that kind of attitude of, I don't care who you are, what you've done in the world of baseball. If you come at me, I'm not gonna let it fly. And then I remember later on in the season and potentially the next season, he was in Yankee Stadium and everyone was chanting, "Who's your daddy?" And he was like, they're just giving me energy. Like, they don't realize it, but pitching is going to be easy when they're yelling all this stuff at me. So I always really liked that mentality. Mm-hmm. So it's a weird mix of the two, but I really enjoy both of them.
Yeah, that doesn't, none of those answers surprised me one bit after our 10 minutes with you. I can tell you that right now. All right, Stephen, this is our traditional question to all the student athletes. And again, this will be an interesting answer, too, given the fact you're going to get your master's from University of Virginia. But since you've been in Charlottesville, what has been your hardest class?
Since I've been in Charlottesville, the hardest class, I would definitely say my master's capstone. It's a class I'm currently taking right now, actually, where I had to, we pretty much simulate a higher education environment. So I was assigned the director of compliance. And you'd think being in college 6 years, you got to have a little bit of feel for the rules of what an athletic compliance director would know what to do and what not to do. And as I learned in early January, I did not know as much as I needed to on what compliance meant. But throughout the course of the semester, I've definitely picked up more on it. I wouldn't say I'm an expert by any means, but I'm learning. So
I like it.
It challenges me, but I learn.
I like it. Well, listen, congratulations on all your academic success. It's awesome watching you pitch. And I'm glad we finally got you on the show. And again, keep up the good work. You guys are playing good baseball.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. We look forward to giving y'all some more content to watch.
I like it. Like it.
There you go. Stephen Schock, the Cavalier closer with us. Don't forget, we got ACC baseball coming up for you on Friday night. We're into May now. The premium goes up for sure. And we've got more for you here. Three-game weekend set. Number 18, Florida State. Number 7, Notre Dame, all three games of the series right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. Game 1 Friday night at 6, Saturday at 7, and Sunday's finale at noon on ACCN, streaming live on the ESPN app. Wednesday on Packer and Durham. You know what that means? Yep. Next on this show, True or False, presented by
Dish.
Well done. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. How good were those student athletes right there? A little back-to-back. Abby Sweet.
Great.
Stephen Schock.
Yep.
I'm telling you, man, they're the stars of the show.
Great.
The dogs and the student athletes are so good in this league. So is the voice of victory when it comes to True or False, brought to you by Dish. With that said, smart people time. Let's go up to Bristol. There he is, voice of victory, Josh
Becker. Don't put me in the city. I am nowhere near being in the league of those last two, especially Stephen Schock.
True.
He is a star.
True.
True. That is true.
True.
On to the first edition of True or False presented by Dish this week. The ACC soccer, of course, rolling with all 10 teams advancing to the Sweet 16s of their respective tournaments, men's and women's. True.
That's true.
True or false, at least half of the Elite Eight field in both the men's and women's NCAA soccer tournament will comprise of ACC squads.
True.
Ooh.
True.
Yeah, true. True. Because I think if we were going to have the upset, we would have had it. Everybody looked pretty sharp, didn't they, Pac?
Yeah, for the most part. And listen, there are going to be probably a couple upsets necessary for that to be a true answer, but I'm going to buy. I'm going to buy ACC soccer, men and women. So I'm going true. What's our next
one? Yep.
Next one, to the diamond.
True.
North Carolina is taking on Campbell tonight on ACC Network. True. Justice Thompson is Carolina's leading hitter, batting .329 on the season. Also true, but he's coming off a disappointing 1-for-13 weekend against Notre Dame.
Definitely
also true. So, true or false, Mr. Thompson will break out of his slump tonight with a multi-hit game.
True. Campbell can't pitch. Campbell can't pitch. Tar Heels get it figured out tonight. True.
Campbell can't pitch. Is that some of your in-depth analysis on the Camels?
Yes, true.
Justice Thompson, yeah, I'll go with that. True. Multi-hit game tonight. Check back tomorrow to see if we were right.
All right.
We will do that. True.
Please.
Stay on the diamond. Yeah. We just spoke, of course, with our new best friend, Stephen Schock, whose UVA team has won five series.
True.
So, true or false, the Hoos will win both of their remaining series this season. They have Wake this weekend and BC next.
True.
Ooh. Ooh.
True.
Whoa, Packer, just going right there.
True. BC fresh off of taking 2 out of 3 against Miami.
Yeah. And Wake Forest always seems to play like a 12-10 game. Don't they, Pack?
Oh, they did over the weekend.
Wake Forest had like, it's seemingly like 11-9, 10-7. I mean, they're always in that neighborhood.
Wake and NC State hit 21 home runs over the weekend.
Both of it's...
True.
Yeah. I saw Danny Hall yesterday at the Bobby Dodd event, by the way. True. And we were talking about just how the premium on these series is going to exist. I'll say false here. This is going to be a wild, bumpy finish to the end of the regular season.
Can we get that video to Stephen
Bumpy
Schock
finish to the end of the regular season.
On a loop for my man Schock in the bullpen with Wester. We just had 15 quality minutes with Schock. He just explained low-hanging fruit, people giving them grief. And then my partner follows it up with, you know what? They're not going to win the next two series. Can you believe that? I tell you what, if Schock is back in Charlottesville and the Virginia baseball team's watching this, I hope you guys get motivated when my partner, who comes back from cocktails and rubbing elbows with coaches and Danny Hall, and there's no golf. So somebody call Vicky. I'll be getting in late tonight, and says, goes, no way Virginia's going to win the next two series. Put that on a loop and run it in Charlottesville. I hope Schock is still watching this in the bureau cam up there in Charlottesville after you did that. Oh, he was great. He was great. Will Virginia win the next two series? Oh, that'd be false. False. What? Come on.
I just think it's going to be really intense the last two weekends, all over the league.
Yeah, okay, great.
All over the league. We said, you said it yourself earlier when we were talking about Pitt and Notre Dame leading their respective divisions.
That's correct. That's true. Brought to you by Dish. That is true. Right now, this day, Pitt and Notre Dame respectively on top of the divisions. Virginia needs to win games, man.
I just think the last two weekends are really, really going to be something.
Well, I get that. But Virginia's won four of their last five series. The only one they didn't was Louisville, but they, you know, won game one, then lost the next two. They need to win down the stretch. So I think you just saw in the ringleaders right there, Schock, Stephen Schock from the bullpen. Yeah. Giving you all that knowledge. And so I think they're going to take care of Wake. I think they'll take care of Boston College.
There we go. And you know what we're going to – all right, so it's on record. Justice Thompson, multi-hit game.
Yeah.
And Virginia won't win both of their remaining regular season series.
No, Virginia is going to win both of their – listen, pay attention.
No, you said they would. I said they wouldn't.
Right.
I know. I know what you said, and I know what I said.
Okay,
so, there we go.
All right, great.
All right, we'll go to the Power Hour Tuesday. I said it was Wednesday earlier.
Durham? Can you get another cocktail for Durham?
Stop.
Please, Danny.
Really? Thanks. All right. We haven't even gotten to like the news of tomorrow yet. Anyway, I said earlier it was Wednesday. It's actually Tuesday show.
Yeah, there we go. Me. Hey, Danny.
I was at a golf tournament.
No more cocktails.
All right, we'll take a break.
Cut them off. We're cutting them off.
Power Hour is next on this program. We're going to go around the ACC. Sophie Jones will join us from Duke's women's soccer program. And Blake James, the AD at Miami, all a part of the Power Hour on the Tuesday edition of Packer and Durham. Just felt like Wednesday. Back after this.
Packer and Durham.